Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Calvin Christian Reformed Church. We're glad that you're here to worship our God with us. We want to give a special welcome to any visitors, family, and friends that we have joining us today. We also want to welcome anybody that's worshiping online with us. Glad that you're able to participate with us, even from a distance. As we get started this morning, I've got a few announcements to make. I'll try to draw your attention to a couple things in the bulletin. And hopefully we'll keep this all straight here. So first, a couple of opportunities for you to get involved in things here at church. First, if you would be willing to share a story of how you've seen God at work, we're looking to share a few stories in worship over the next couple of weeks. And so if that's something that you might be interested in, you can come and talk to me. And we're going to have an example today to kind of give you a sense of what that might look like. Second, we've been making an announcement for a few weeks. This will be the last week I do this, that if you're interested in being part of a prayer group, you can come and talk to me, and we're working to see if we can maybe get something organized for those who are interested. Then, just so you know, we're going to have a council meeting tomorrow at 7. If you'd like to bring anything to the council's attention, you can grab me or one of the elders or deacons and let us know, and we'll talk about your concern. So our church is here in town. We're working with this program called LifeWise Academy. Maybe you remember we watched a video about that during the offering a few weeks ago. They're in the process of drumming up support for this. If you have heard about this and you're interested and you've not already put your name on a list and you'd like to do that, you can go online or you can talk to me and I can, you know, write your name down and we'll get you on the list for that. Then one last thing, you'll notice kind of on the back page of the announcements that there's a Hope Haven Spring Concert that's coming up at Dort on the 30th, and there's information about tickets. Pete Adama was saying that he has some tickets, so if you're interested in that concert, you can talk to Pete, and he will help you out with that. But that stuff's in the bulletin, so be sure to read that, and you can ask me if you've got more questions about some of these things as well. Enough of that. Let's move into our time of worship together. As we hear our call to worship, people of God, please rise in body or in spirit. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Let's join together in praising our God by singing, "Come, People of the Risen King."
People of the risen King, would you like to pray?
Brothers and sisters, our God greets us this morning, and he says to us, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. God has greeted us. Let's take some time to greet one another. Morning, Ron. Morning. You may be seated. In the Psalms we read, "I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found." Trusting God's goodness and grace, let's confess our sins together in prayer. We're going to have a reading together for our prayer of confession. You could follow along on the screen or in your bulletins. Let's join together in this prayer. Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from the grave and crowned him Lord of all. We confess that we have not always bowed before him or acknowledged his rule in our lives. We have often gone along with the way of the world and failed to give him glory. Forgive us and raise us from sin, that we may be your faithful people, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rules the world and is head of the church, his body. Amen. People of God, hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Know that in Christ Jesus, God forgives us and makes us new. Thanks be to God. And now Jesus calls us to follow him. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Let's join together in singing praise to God once again. We'll sing "O to See the Dawn." Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing. As Christians, we celebrate that Jesus is alive. We celebrate that here in this season of Easter, and we celebrate that throughout our lives. And sometimes it's good for us to remember that Jesus' work is not just confined to Bible times, but that God continues to be at work in our lives here and now. So we're going to have some time over the coming weeks where we hear some stories of how we together have seen God at work. And this week, to get us started, Tess is going to share a story of how she's seen God at work in her own life.
One time I saw God at work in my life was when Brian and I were in the NICU with Mia. At the start of our NICU experience, I was still in the hospital. Brian was down with Mia, and Lainey was with her grandparents. I missed the first 4 days of Mia's life because my blood pressure would not go down. After that fourth day, I was finally released and got to head down to meet my baby girl for the second time. I remember sitting with Mia on my chest, just thanking God that I could finally sit and hold her. Later that night, after I held Mia for the last time, Brian and I headed back to the Ronald McDonald House. After a quick dinner, we headed to our room and sat on the bed before Brian headed back to do Mia's 9 p.m. feeding. I felt horrible. Here I was, a second-time mom, but this delivery and experience was completely different than my first. I felt completely out of my league. I started crying and praying to God, "Please help me. Help me feel like myself. Don't let me feel like a failure. Help me feel strong and be able to do this. Help me stop crying." I was such a wreck and just wanted this all to be over. All of a sudden, I felt this calm come over me. My tears stopped, I stopped hyperventilating, and I felt like everything was going to be okay. We spent 6 long weeks in the NICU with many ups and downs. Mia came so quick and was so small that she just needed some extra help in certain areas. God made sure she had that help and that we also still felt like we knew what we were doing. There were many times that Brian and I were a wreck, but God gave each other to help us feel strong and gave us someone to lift us up when we fell down. 6 weeks later, we finally got the okay to head home with Mia and meet Lainey after sending her to her grandparents for the third time due to changing circumstances. We got home and felt a sigh of relief. We were home in our house that we knew, with our bed, and with our family together forever at this point. God showed us that we had the stability that we had been craving and longed to have after that long experience.
Thank you, Tess. So hearing a story like that of God at work gives us confidence to come before God with our own prayers. As we come to our time of prayer, just a couple things we want to remember together. First, last week we were praying for Tom Biorgi. Tom made it home at the beginning of this week. He's still in the process of recovering, so we want to keep praying for him. And also, as you see in the bulletin, we want to be praying for the Postma family. Keith lost an aunt recently, and Amy lost her brother-in-law. Amy and Keith lost their brother-in-law. So we want to be praying for comfort for them and their family during this time. Let's come before God in prayer. Risen and reigning Lord, truly you are a high priest who has passed through the heavens. Truly you were tested as we are, and yet you were without sin. With boldness, we approach your throne, deeply assured of your mercy and grace in our time of need. Your resurrection and your reign give hope to your people. May all who live without hope today taste and see that you are good. Lord, we pray for those who are in different kinds of difficult circumstances. We think of those who've been victims of the terrible flooding in South Africa. We pray that you would give them safety and security. We pray for people who have been struggling with their mental health, facing depression and despair. We pray that you would make your presence clear to them, bring them your peace. Lord, as we go through a time of discussion and debate and pain in our church and our denomination, as there are many discussions about human sexuality, we pray for those whose sexuality is a source of struggle and pain. who aren't sure what to believe about themselves or what their life looks like. We recognize, Lord, that we as a church have so often failed in this area to show your love, to show your grace and truth. We've treated other people as our enemies, as those who can't be part of us, rather than as our brothers and sisters who are struggling. We pray that you'd help us to show your love and your grace and truth. We pray for those who are struggling that you would help them to find their identity in you and in your love and in your call to be your people. Your resurrection and your reign call us, your people, to testify to your goodness. Equip each of us today to be bold witnesses of Easter good news. We pray that you would help us to live with Christ's character in all areas of our lives, at home, at work, out in the neighborhood. We pray that you would help us to notice and take opportunities that we have to talk about Jesus and what he's done in our lives. Your resurrection and your reign call all the nations of the world to stop their scheming and seek your peace. May your Spirit convict all people to submit to your rule and to pursue true peace. Lord, we pray for the leaders of our world and our nation. We pray that you would give them wisdom and strength, that you would help them to follow your ways and not their own ways. Lord, we pray for an end to the terrible war in Ukraine. And Lord, we see how this war affects not just the people there, but how this leads to food shortages in other places like Somalia. Lord, we pray for an end to war and famine, that you would bring an end to all this terrible human evil. Your resurrection and your reign call each of us to turn from the path of death to the path of obedience and life. Send your Spirit to strengthen our resolve and help us to live as people of life and light. God, give us strength and help us to resist the world's values when it comes to things like wealth and sexuality and what it means to be successful. Help us to live like Jesus. Teach us to live with humility and generosity, compassion, contentment, self-control. Lord Jesus, your resurrection and your reign bring life and light and healing. May all who suffer in the valley of the shadow of death and go through disease know your healing presence. Lord, we continue to pray for healing for members of our own congregation. We think of Tom and Glenda and Jan and John and the various struggles that they've been having. We pray that you would give them hope, that you would bring recovery in their lives. Lord, we think of those going through grief after the death of a loved one. We think particularly of Keith and Amy and Baze and their family. We pray that you'd give them comfort in this time. We pray for those who battle cancer or live with chronic illness. We pray that you'd give them patience, strength, and hope. We pray for those who are approaching the end of their life. We pray that you would give them strength, give them faith in Jesus Christ. Bring comfort and hope to their families as well. Lord Jesus, your resurrection and your reign are first fruits of all that is to come. Justice, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. May your kingdom come quickly. And may we, your Easter people, never fail to bless and thank you for your immeasurable love and sure promises. All praise to you, risen Christ, who with the Father and the Spirit lives in perfect communion forever and ever. Amen. One of the ways that we have to worship God is to give back to him out of all that he has given us. Today, as we receive our offering and give back to God gratefully, we'll also sing together, "It's About the Cross."
Oh,
It's time for our children's message. So any kids that want to come forward, please come up now and we'll talk for a little bit. Good morning. How are you guys today? Good. I'm glad to hear it. So I've got something I'd like to show you today. I have this thing. Do you know what this is called? You ever
cube.
Seen this? It's a cube. Yeah.
I have one also.
Yeah, it's called a Rubik's cube.
Rubik's.
Yeah, you want to hold it for a second? You can mix it up if you want. You can turn it all around. So we're going to read a passage from the Bible today that talks about God and how God is working on us. And so God has a plan for all of us as his people, as his children. God wants us to be like Jesus. God wants us to be just the way he wants us to be. He wants us to be perfect. And so God has a lot of work to do on us. He's got to work and work and work to make us the way that he wants us to be. Can I have that back a second?
Yeah.
Okay. So as we go through our lives, the Bible teaches us that God is working on us. He's making us who he wants us to be. And so he, little by little, he helps us learn how to do things like tell the truth or love other people
or be
kind and forgiving. Now, do you think I got this thing done? It looks done to me, doesn't it? No, is there still work to be done?
Yeah.
Sometimes as Christians, sometimes as God's people, we think that we're all the way done, that God doesn't need to work on us anymore, that we don't need to think about trying to be more like Jesus, because we think that God has already finished his work. But really, God is going to keep working on us our whole lives. There's always more work to be done. We should always be trying to be more like Jesus. But the good news is, and our Bible passage teaches us today, that God doesn't stop working. God keeps working and working and working and working. He keeps on going our whole lives to make us just who he wants us to be. And so then, one day, when Jesus comes back, we won't be imperfect or incomplete anymore. We'll be exactly what God wants us to be. So in our Bible reading, we're going to talk about how God never stops working on us. And God won't ever stop until he's all the way done. So thanks for coming forward. You guys can go back to your seats. So for the next, I think it'll take us about 2 months if things go according to plan. We are going to look at the book of Philippians together. We're going to look at what this book means for us today, what God is calling us to be. Today we'll start with the beginning of the book, a good place to start. We'll look at this prayer of thanksgiving and prayer requests that Paul brings and see how that teaches us about God's work. Now before we read God's word, let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the Bible, for this gift of your word to us. And we pray that as we read today, that you would send us your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to understand and love you more and more, and feel more and more inspired and motivated to live the way that you want us to live. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So this week, our scripture reading is Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. You can follow along in your own Bible, or you can follow along with the reading up on the screen. Again, we're going to read Philippians 1, 1 through 11. So hear the word of the Lord. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Paul, the early Christian missionary, gives thanks for God's work among the Christians in the city of Philippi. Paul, along with his dear co-worker Timothy, is writing to the Philippian Christians, people whom he loves deeply. Just a few years before sending this letter, Paul visited Philippi on one of his missionary journeys. And in that city, he proclaimed the good news of Christ Jesus. He and his companions preached about Christ. God's Holy Spirit led many people there to believe in Jesus. They formed a church. Now, when Paul is writing this letter, he's in prison as a result of his ongoing work to spread the good news. The Philippians, meanwhile, have been supporting Paul. So he responds by sending them this letter, letting them know what's going on with him and encouraging them to keep growing in Christ. But this letter isn't only about Paul and the Philippians. We believe that God's Spirit inspired Paul to write these words, that God has made these words not just what God wanted the Philippian Christians to hear in the middle of the first century, but these are words for all of God's people throughout the centuries. So moved by God, Paul begins writing, and he starts by rooting everyone's identity in Christ Jesus. Paul and Timothy are slaves of Christ Jesus, and all the Philippian Christians are God's holy people in Christ Jesus because of Jesus' saving work. Paul desires that the Philippians will continue to experience grace and the peace that comes with that grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul launches into thanksgiving. I thank my God every time I remember you, Philippians. In all my prayers, I always thank God for you, and I pray with joy because of your partnership in the good news of Jesus from the very first day right up till now. I thank God because I'm confident that God, the one who began a good work in you, he will continue that work until it's complete on the day when Christ Jesus comes back. God, through Paul, draws his people's attention to God's work. God's work is the work of salvation, rescuing his people from their sins and death, gathering his people together as his church through Christ Jesus. Now, in one very real and very important sense, God's work is complete. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus in his people's place, salvation and forgiveness and eternal life are guaranteed to everyone who belongs to and believes in Jesus. But in another sense, God's work is still a work in progress. God is still establishing the results of Jesus' saving work throughout the whole world. He's spreading the good news to every kind of person. He's making that good news take effect in the lives of every person that he chooses and claims as his own. So with this in mind, Paul is giving thanks for God's work in and among and through the Philippians. Now, the Philippians, just like us, faced some dangers when it comes to how we think about God's work. Today, I'd like to look at two of those dangers and consider how God teaches us the truth through Paul's words that we read here in Philippians. First, we can think that God's work is just too big for us. God is in the business of saving people, bringing that salvation to the ends of the earth. Obviously, that affects us. We're grateful for God's work. But sometimes the whole thing just feels way over our heads, far above our pay grade. We might assume that there's just no way that God could have any role for people like us in his big work. After all, we're just mere mortals. We're frail and imperfect human beings. And now, we're right in a sense. We're right to recognize we can't save anyone, even ourselves. We can't take away our sins, can't make ourselves right with God. We need Jesus for that. But when it comes to God's ongoing work, we're wrong if we think that the work of spreading the good news of Jesus is beyond ordinary Christians. But too often we think that God can only use missionaries like Paul or evangelists like a Billy Graham type or maybe even an average pastor or chaplain. But too often we think God can't use just sort of everyday believers. So that's our first danger. A second, we can think that God's work means that we as Christians are complete already. We're done, finished. We can get the idea that once we believe in Christ, we've become everything that God wants us to be. We can think that we're sort of like move-in ready homes, not like houses under construction. So rather than putting in effort to trying to grow as Christians, we get comfortable, maybe even complacent. Eric believes, he'll tell you, that his only comfort in life and in death is belonging to his faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Eric loved going to Sunday school when he was a kid. As a teenager, he was not afraid to ask tough questions and engage in discussions about faith and youth group. By the time Eric got to the end of high school, he had a good grasp of what Christians believe. He personally trusted in Jesus, so he made his public profession of faith. Eric even went and read through the whole Bible because he wanted to know everything that God had to say. But nowadays, Eric very rarely picks up his Bible. He's got no interest in something like adult Sunday school or a small group study because Eric thinks he's seen it all before, right? Eric still does go to church pretty faithfully. That's mostly because he just likes seeing his friends that also go there. Eric thinks that as long as he's not really hurting anyone else, you know, not spreading rumors, not cheating on his girlfriend, not taking credit for somebody else's work, then it doesn't really matter the way he lives. You know, God forgives, right? In Eric's mind, just knowing that he's a sinner, that he's saved by God's grace, that's enough. That's all that God really wants from him. Now, Eric is right in thinking that salvation is God's work, not his own. But leading him to believe in Jesus is not the end of God's work. God teaches Christians about his work through Paul's thanksgiving and prayer requests at the beginning of the letter to the Philippians. First, as big as God's work is, God still has a role for all of his people in his ongoing work. We've already seen how Paul thanked God for the Philippians' partnership in the good news of Jesus. Paul builds on that as he continues his prayer of thanks. It's right for me to feel such joy and confidence about all of you because I have you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains as a prisoner or defending and confirming the gospel while on trial, all of you share in God's grace in this calling with me. God is my witness that I long for all of you with the deep, deep affection of Christ Jesus. Now, in these words, God is telling us that God is using Paul in God's work of spreading the good news to the whole earth. Even in prison, Paul continues to be a witness to Jesus' saving actions. Paul is willing to endure even captivity because he's so committed to bringing God's news to the ends of the earth. He won't stop, no matter what the authorities say. But the thing is, it's not just Paul who's doing this. Paul describes the Philippians as his partners, his co-workers, those who share with him. Paul sees himself and all the Philippians and all Christians as a team, one people, united in love and mission in Christ. So even by this seemingly small act of supporting Paul financially, the Philippians are playing a role in God's work. They're working together with Paul. They're working together with God. And their role isn't limited to just finances. They all contribute to God's work right where they are, in their community. Every time the Philippian Christians show God's love by forgiving or taking care of a neighbor or talking to someone about what Jesus has done in their life, they participate in God's work of extending his good news across the globe. God enables, God empowers all of his people to take part in his ongoing work. Now, second, even after leading the Philippians to faith in Christ Jesus, God's work in them is not done. Paul already said that God began to work in them and that he will bring it to completion. But for now, that work is still in progress. And Paul builds on this idea when he turns to intercede for the Philippians. He says, "This is my prayer for you, that your love may abound more and more, growing in knowledge and wisdom. Then you'll be able to make the best choices that you can. Then you'll be all that you can be in Christ. You'll live out the good news with pure and upright actions and thoughts and words and desires. Through Christ's work in you, you'll bring praise and glory to God." God's goal is not just to forgive his people. His goal is to make his people like Jesus. God is already at work in us, but there's still work to be done. God's ongoing work in his people's lives means that we are all still a work in progress. We Christians already have much that we can and should give thanks for through Jesus. We've got forgiveness of sins. We have a new identity as God's children. We have assurance of eternal life. We should view our faith in Jesus and the right standing with God that it brings as only stage one of the work of God and His grace in our lives. In stage two, this ongoing stage, God continues to work in our lives to transform us, to renew us, to purify us from our sinfulness. God wants to teach us not just that we are His children, but to act like His children. He wants us to follow Him. Now that we've experienced and received the good news, we have to put that into practice. We have to apply it to every part of our lives. That means that we as Christians can't just be comfortable or complacent. We're off to a good start, but we should strive to keep growing, to understand God more and more, to imitate Jesus better and better. And Jesus' great love for us, His love in coming to earth and living and dying and rising again, in ascending to rule all things for us, that love inspires us and makes us want to love Him and others through godly living. But here's the better news yet. God calls us to put our own effort into our growth, but God never leaves us alone in that. God Himself is also at work in us. He's making us more loving and holy and righteous, and He promises that He will complete His work. God shows us that He's at work in us. He does it when He gives us the wisdom to know when we should love someone by helping them with a task and when we should love someone just by listening to them. God fills us with the joy of knowing that He's making us like Him when He leads us to tell the truth just because it's the truth. God gives us the confidence that He's continuing to make us mature when He gives us patience in the midst of a stressful conflict that just last year would have made us lose our temper. God's ongoing work has transformed Marcus Jackson, giving him joy and confidence. As a young man, Marcus landed himself in prison with a life sentence for second-degree murder. For a long time, he felt absolutely hopeless. He worried about his kids growing up without a father, just like he had. But God was at work in Marcus's life. Wanting to improve his reading skills, Marcus took a class in the prison, a class that was taught by two English professors from Kelvin University who'd come in every week or so to teach a little more. Through this learning experience and this interaction with some Christians, God gave Marcus hope, started leading him toward Christ. Eventually, Marcus applied for the Kelvin Prison Initiative so that he could learn more and even earn a bachelor's degree while still behind bars. At first, he was denied. But God wanted to use Marcus in God's work. So God didn't let him give up. Marcus, rather than growing complacent, he went to work on trying to grow in Christ. He got serious about attending worship services. He took a job in the prison barber shop. He volunteered to clean the classroom floors. The next year, he got into this program. And then Marcus really began to see how God was at work in his life. God was transforming him, making him more thoughtful, more responsible, more humble. God helped him to trust in Jesus more and more fully. Marcus started bringing the handouts from his classes back to his fellow inmates and using them as a way to talk about what he was learning about God, how God was working in his life. As Marcus realized that God was at work in and through him, that filled him with the joy of knowing that God had saved him, and confidence that God would continue that work until it was complete. In fact, God worked so strongly, so clearly in Marcus's life, that a few years later, 22 years into his life sentence, he was granted parole. He was deemed a changed man. Brothers and sisters, God is at work in and among and through his people. Christ saves us. Christ uses us in his work. Christ works in us to make us grow more and more. God won't stop working in his people until his work is complete. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. God our Father, thank you for making us your people through the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us a role in your ongoing work of spreading your good news to the ends of the earth. Thank you for continuing to work in us to make us more mature and Christ-like. Please help us put effort into our growth and look for ways to live out your good news in our daily lives. And fill us with the confidence that you will finish your work and make us complete when Jesus returns. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Having heard God's word, let's take some time to proclaim what it is we believe. This week we're going to use part of the Belgic Confession, Article 24. So let's join together in reading these words and proclaiming our faith. We believe that this true faith, produced in us by the hearing of God's word and by the work of the Holy Spirit, regenerates us and makes us new creatures, causing us to live a new life and freeing us from the slavery of sin. So then, we do good works, but not for merit. For what would we merit? Rather, we are indebted to God for the good works we do, and not God to us, since God is at work in us, enabling us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Amen. Let's continue to respond to God by singing joyfully. We'll sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing. Brothers and sisters, as we come to the close of our worship service, Jesus sends us forth to live for him. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And know that as we go, God sends us with his blessing. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you always. Amen.